Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, man. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Here we go. Big news. Wow. Boy, do we deserve this. I don't want to overstate it, but major announcement this morning. COVID vaccine from Pfizer. More than 90% effective. Described as a great day for science and humanity. Wow. Let's go. I want to introduce Dr. Anita McElroy. Hi, doctor. How are you?
Hi, Marty. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. She's on the, she's a Pitt's pediatric infectious disease doctor. She's with UPMC's Children's. She's a member of the Pitt's Center for Vaccine Research. In other words, she's a big shot. And she's in the middle, part of the team at Pitt working on a vaccine for COVID. Kind of put this in perspective for us, doctor. Exciting news, right?
Oh, absolutely, Marty. This is the first, I think, of many trials that we're going to hear about that are successful. It's excellent news.
And help me in lay terms, when they say 90% effective, that sounds major league because we were being told there was hope that it would be 50% effective. Help me with that.
Yeah, so here's how this vaccine trial was done. They took two groups of people, and they had 40,000 people total so far, and half of those people got two doses of the vaccine, 28 days apart, so a dose on day one and a dose a month later. The other half of the people didn't get anything, right? They got what's called placebo, so basically a water or sugar or salt water vaccine. And then they followed all of those individuals over time, and they asked how many people of the people who got the vaccine versus the people who got the placebo ultimately developed COVID disease. And they did that by asking people to report their symptoms. And anyone who had cough or fever or headache or any of a list of symptoms was then tested for SARS-CoV-2 virus. And if they were positive, then that was considered a positive case. And so what this trial has shown us is that 94 people ended up having COVID, right, who were in the trial. But the vast majority of those people were the people who got the placebo, right? So that what that means is that the people who received the actual vaccine were protected from developing COVID disease. So 90% of them were protected. That's what that 90% effective means.
So, you know, I'm just reading what's being reported. Scientists were hoping for a vaccine 75% effective. Fauci had said that 50 to 60% would be acceptable. Is this number astounding to you, or is this research you haven't been able to review yet? Or kind of give me your analysis.
So we give ourselves the flu vaccine every year, and it's very important that we get the flu vaccine. And its effectiveness ranges anywhere from 30 to 60%, right, to give you a comparator. And that's a great vaccine, and we still use it, right? It could be better, but it's an important vaccine. So a 90% efficacy or effectiveness is actually quite high. There are other vaccines that are very effective. The measles vaccine is a very effective vaccine. The fact that this one has 90% efficacy is very encouraging. Now, keep in mind, right, this is a short-term efficacy, right? This trial's just been done in the last 6 months. We don't know if that's going to protect you for a year, 2 years, 3 years. So I don't mean to downplay
it. No, no.
It's fantastic news, but we still have a lot to learn.
Dr. Anita McElroy, Pitt's, she's a pediatric infectious disease doctor, UPMC Children's, also a member of Pitt Center for Vaccine Research. Okay, in terms of getting this to folks, you're not getting a vaccine next month. Tell folks how this would transpire the best you can guess, doctor.
Yeah, I think at this point what's going to happen is the company will take their data to the FDA, and the FDA will review all of the data, the safety data, the efficacy data, and they will make a decision about whether they want to give emergency use authorization. And if they do, then that vaccine should be available for people to get. Now, the challenge is going to be manufacturing. Pfizer released on their press release for this news today that they think they can have 50 million doses in 2020. Well, there's 300 million people in the United States alone, right? So clearly there are not enough doses of the vaccine for everyone yet. They also said in their press release that they plan to make 1.3 billion doses in 2021. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of discussion, I think, about who gets the vaccine, who gets it first, when is it rolled out, which populations. I think that will be a topic to come.
So, best guess, senior citizens who are vulnerable would get this first. Would that be your best guess, Doctor?
I think that probably they will be near the top of the list.
Sure.
So healthcare workers are going to be at the top of the list.
Excellent.
You know, people who are immunocompromised, elderly, people with other conditions like diabetes and hypertension, you know, people who live in long-term care facilities. There's going to be a lot of need for this vaccine. So it's going to be difficult, I think, to really prioritize. And thankfully, someone who has a higher pay grade than me will make those decisions.
So, Doctor, is it relevant that the data hasn't been released and that this hasn't been peer-reviewed? Is that relevant?
All of the data will be available to FDA, the raw data that the company will provide them. So I think it's appropriate for us to trust our officials at the FDA. They know what they're doing. They're fantastic scientists. Right, they exercise rigor all the time in the evaluation of studies. Keep in mind, the data for this trial is not going to be in the peer-reviewed literature for years. They may give us an interim analysis, but they're following all of these people who've received this vaccine for 2 years after they get the vaccine.
Doctor, can you hang for a few minutes?
Sure.
Really important stuff. If you have a brief question for her as well, 866, it's fascinating, really. 8663, this is the best news I've heard in months. 866-391-1020. Give us a yell. This is fascinating, actually, this announcement from Pfizer this morning that they have a vaccine that's 90% effective. Let me give you a little of the background. They plan to submit for emergency use authorization from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration after they have 2 months of data, which I'm reading will be third week of November. Wow. They expect to produce 50 million vaccine doses in 2020. Up to 1.3 billion in 21. You got to have two doses. It's amazing. They plan to deliver hundreds of millions of coronavirus vaccines around the world. Questions about how to do that. They plan to load suitcases from distribution sites in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and Belgium onto as many as 24 trucks a day, allowing for the daily transport of roughly 7.6 million doses to nearby airports. Man, that's amazing. Dr. Anita McElroy joining me. She is UPMC Children's Hospital, infectious disease doctor, and she's a member of Pitt's Center for Vaccine Research. Doctor, for citizens out there listening, how safe will a vaccine be? Should they be nervous?
If a vaccine makes it through FDA approval, then it's going to be a safe vaccine. Now, like you had just mentioned, they can't take this to the FDA until they have at least 2 months of safety data, which is where you said that third week of November will be. So that's an FDA rule that they put in place that they're not going to consider any vaccines without at least 2 months of safety data. You know, life is about risks and it's about benefits. And there may be some safety issue that comes along with this vaccine. A year from now, 2 years from now, we're not going to know. This is why these trials have to continue, and we have to do due diligence and complete the trials before we all like run out and get this particular vaccine. But I would encourage folks to think about this vaccine when it becomes available, but also to think about participating in local vaccine trials. We have here in Pittsburgh the Pittsburgh Vaccine Trials Unit. They've been doing vaccine trials for COVID for months now. Like, this is an open, easy to access, available opportunity for everyone in our city.
And what's it like for you personally, Doctor? You're in the middle of this. You're working on this vaccine at Pitt's team. This has to be thrilling for you, Doctor.
You know, it's a pretty unique time to be a pediatric infectious disease doctor who studies viruses, I'll have to tell you. I probably would have never predicted that this sort of thing would have happened, and I'd have been in the middle of it, but it's an honor and a privilege to take a part.
Well, doctor, just for perspective, the mumps vaccine took more than 4 years, and that was the fastest ever. This would be, what, 12 to 18 months? That's insane. That's amazing, is it not?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we use this word unprecedented way too much in the context of this outbreak in 2020, but it is. It's unprecedented. So to have a vaccine go from conception, I mean, we didn't even know the sequence of this virus until January of this year. So to go from virus was identified in January of 2020 to we have a vaccine for it in January 2021 is pretty amazing. And it's, you know, it's a testament to the scientific knowledge and capacity and the effort put forth by people all around the world, right? Scientific experts have just pivoted their work from what they were doing to work on SARS-CoV-2 vaccines and COVID disease. It's really an amazing thing to watch.
How close are you to something news like this coming out of UPMC Pittsburgh?
We're not doing any phase clinical trials with our current vaccines that we're producing in the Center for Vaccine Research at this moment. Stay tuned. Those will occur.
Sure.
But, I mean, as you know, news is coming out of Pitt and UPMC all the time.
It's amazing.
Just last week, my colleague Yi Shi published a paper showing using antibodies from llamas called nanobodies.
Saw that.
And that they will inhibit virus infection. So stay tuned. There's lots of really amazing stuff going on at Pitt and UPMC.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I'm going to throw a couple quick questions that I know you have answers for here. Brian, go ahead quickly for the doctor.
Good morning, doctor. I was just curious, of the 44 estimated shots that were administered, they got 21 days apart, the shots. Are we certain that the placebo was a water or sugar? Because I'm reading it, it just says that it was a liquid, but it doesn't say what the placebo is, actually.
Yeah, that's a great question,
sure,
Brian.
Is.
So when placebos are given in vaccine trials, they usually are made up of something called vehicle, right? That's basically whatever the liquid is that the vaccine is suspended in, that's what the placebo is, just without the vaccine. So I don't know the exact formulation of the vehicle for this particular vaccine, but it would be the same liquid that the vaccine was in, just without vaccine.
Helen, quickly for the doctor. Helen.
Ah, yes. If I heard right, I thought she said that they tested ones if they had symptoms. I'm assuming they tested everybody because people were asymptomatic.
Helen, that's a great question and very astute of you to think about that, because the way the trial is designed, it will detect symptomatic people. So if the vaccine provides protection against symptoms, we would be able to determine that, because that's the way the trial is designed. We don't know if the vaccine protects against infection or just against disease. And I think that there are some tricky ways that they can figure that out, but we're not going to know the answers to that until later on, many years from now, when the trial is completed.
Dr. Anita McElroy. Hey, doctor, any info out, because I'm not seeing it, about possible side effects? Do we know?
I mean, I can tell you that this is an mRNA-based vaccine, which is not something we've ever had licensed before.
Oh.
It's a novel vaccine method, and mRNA, when you inject a lot of it into people, is going to cause a reaction, right? This is important, right? We want to cause a reaction,
right?
Because we want the immune system to do its job and rev up and fight off whatever you're giving them. So that is called reactogenicity, right? That's the reaction that your body has. And that is often considered an adverse event or a side effect, right? Did you have redness? Did you have swelling? Did you have some muscle aches, right? Maybe did you have a headache? All of those things are possible. With mRNA vaccines, there probably will be a good amount of reactogenicity, but I would encourage people to say that's great, because that means my immune system is doing its job and mounting a response against this vaccine antigen.
I know I would take it. I know you would take it. Sign me up. That's the best news I've heard in months. By the way, doctor, you're absolutely amazing. You're making history, and on top of that, you're amazing on the radio. Doctor, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for the info and jumping in here at the late notice. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Marty. Thanks for your interest in the vaccine. Keep spreading the word.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.